pay a little bit of attention of, you know, how we're not supposed to be one of the winning teams in the Big Ten. So, I mean, I could go into detail about it, but that just gives me more motivation just to prove them wrong and just to prove this offense is ready and locked and loaded, and this defense is young, but they're very talented, and they're hungry. That's the beauty about being young. You're hungry. You want to prove yourself at this college level. I'm sure there'll be mistakes made here and there, but our goal is to play a perfect football game, and if we continue just to try to do that and limit the turnovers and the penalties, I believe we'll be fine.
Illinois running back Kendrick Foster, optimistic about the Illini as they get ready for game number one against Ball State Saturday morning. We are 2 days from kickoff. Welcome into Sports Talk, everybody. I'm Scott Beatty. Marcus Jackson is here as well. Plenty of football talk to carry you till 6 o'clock. Also catch you up on the headlines of the day and have a little discussion along the way as well. Good afternoon, Marcus.
Hey, Scott.
You doing well?
I'm great.
Sunny?
It's sunny out.
Yeah? You really seem like you're in a chipper mood.
Yeah, I have my days.
Is that because Mbop was playing?
That is because Mbop was playing.
On our sister station, Light Rock 97.5.
I heard that on the way in. Apparently, gibberish, that's a theme for 5 at 5 today.
Yeah, Tamara McDaniel has a 5 at 5 every day.
Okay.
Not that anybody here would know because they're listening to us.
Right.
And, but, you know, if on the occasion that you wouldn't be listening.
But I heard Mbop on my way in, and I got happy.
All right. So that's just the way Hansen gets Marcus going. Whatever gets you going, you can let us know. 356-9397 is the number to call. And we have some time to chat here. 217-351-5357 if you want to text us on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line. We will get a look at the opposition with Joel Gaudette, the play-by-play voice of Ball State University, coming up in the program. Also, Holly Stalkup from the U of I football event management will come by and let us know what's going on for Illinois football game experience this year. See if there's anything new.
It'll be fun. Holly's great.
She is. She's probably, if you were to name the top three nicest people, not just like in Champaign County, but maybe the state, even the country, she's probably on that list.
She's up there, and we're not just saying this because she's listening, maybe, but she is.
She may or may not be, but she is. She's just one of those genuinely nice people. Before the program's over, I've got tailgate passes to give away. If you want to come hang out at our tailgate before the game at Grange Grove, I've got four of those to give away, so hang with us, and I'll give them away later this hour. So plenty to get going with today. The headlines: the Cubs are in action tonight. They start a series against the Atlanta Braves. Sean Newcomb against Kyle Hendricks. Hendricks, a solid year overall when he's not been injured. 5-4 with a 3.45 ERA. Cubs up 3.5 games on Milwaukee, 6 ahead of St. Louis. The Cardinals trying to keep their heads above water in the playoff race right now. They're starting a series in San Francisco. Did you see the end of the game yesterday between the Cardinals and Milwaukee? We played the highlight, but yesterday, did you get to see it?
It was awesome. Yeah, it was really cool.
What was better than the catch that Keon Broxton made was his reaction. I mean, it was like he had just thrown down a slam and gotten a foul and has headed to the line. He was pumped up.
When things like that happen, I like to get the reaction of other guys who weren't directly involved in the play. And I think as soon as the ball left the bat, I don't know who plays third base for the Brewers, but he just put his head down. He's like, oh, gosh, we just gave up the lead in the ninth inning. And then I didn't get to see what his reaction was afterward because obviously the cameras weren't on him, but I would have paid to have seen how he reacted to that after being so disappointed when the ball left the bat.
So the Cardinals trying to right the ship today. They get Madison Bumgarner, who's 3-6 on the year. Is that right for Madison Bumgarner? But he's just not been himself this year.
Well, he fell off that ATV.
Yeah.
And really messed things up there, but couldn't happen to a nicer guy.
You know, I've always wondered what I would do if I was making millions of dollars to be an athlete, because there's the human part of you that still wants to go have fun. Who was it? Aaron Boone for the Yankees that famously went and played basketball and tore up his knee?
Mm-hmm, I think so.
What would you actually have a hard time giving up, even if you were making millions of dollars for it? I was trying to think of something like, okay, what if I had, what if somebody said, I'll give you $1 million mm-hmm. every year, but you can't eat any more chocolate. Like, of course you would take the money, right?
Oh, absolutely.
But would you really, but I would sit there and think about like, how could I get some chocolate? How could I work around this?
You can work around it if it's $1 million.
Yeah, you could probably get through it, but it actually wouldn't be easy.
It wouldn't be. It'd be difficult. I think about this, you know, speaking of, you mentioned Aaron Boone playing basketball, my junior year of high school, getting ready for, or it was during baseball season, and me and my buddies played basketball one day, and I rolled my ankle, and we just had a light workout one day where we had to go and hit, and our assistant coach, he knew what happened, and he said, don't let the old man see, our head coach, and I just kind of pretended I was fine. I took a couple swings. He goes, just take a couple swings and get the heck out of here. He's like, don't let the old man know you're playing basketball because he will kill you. And so I can empathize with Aaron Boone on that. But, of course, I didn't have millions of dollars on the line like he did.
Well, you know, even if you're an athlete and you know, okay, you got to take care of your body a certain way. You shouldn't drink too much. You shouldn't eat too much in a certain way. But, you know, where does that – where you go? We just stand out and we look and say, you dummy, why would you do that? But you're still human. You still want to do the things that are fun.
Yeah, and then you get to this level that these guys are at too. Like, you think you're invincible almost to a certain degree too. So you say like, oh, I'll be fine. I can drink every night or whatever it is, or I can eat chocolate or, you know, just things that you're not supposed to do. And then and you feel like you can get away with it. And a lot of times they probably do. Madison Bumgarner's probably ridden ATVs his entire career, and he finally rolled over once and hurt himself.
And the first thing you think is, what are you doing on an ATV?
Right.
But the guy needs to have some fun in his life,
I guess.
So if you want to let us know something that you would really have a hard time giving up.
He can play like an ATV video game or something. I'm sure they have that. It's the same thing.
You know,
right?
Even with virtual reality, some things aren't quite the same. Big Ten football starts tonight. Ohio State will go to Indiana in Bloomington, and Kevin Wilson returns to Bloomington. How much does he want to put, like, 70-plus points on the Hoosiers?
They might.
And it is sold out there at Memorial Stadium as well.
They're saying this might be the biggest game in Indiana history, and they have no chance of winning.
That is, will kick off, and it's it hasn't happened, I think, since the mid-90s, where the conference, where a team in the conference opened with a conference opponent. So that is something that I think was suggested by Kevin Wilson. And when he was at Indiana, he had first brought it up. And guess what? Now he gets to do it and gets to probably win, too. NBA news, LA Lakers have been fined $500,000, which is probably like a traffic ticket for most of us, for violating the NBA's anti-tampering rule. League says new general manager Rob Pelinka's contact with Paul George's agent constituted a prohibited expression of interest in the player while he was under contract. U.S. Open tennis, Karolina Pliskova advances to the third round, beats American Nicole Gibbs in three sets. Roger Federer tonight can beat Russia's Mikhail Yuzny, and if he does, it'll be his 80th U.S. Open victory, which would put him at second place all alone ahead of Andre Agassi. Jimmy Connors is the all-time record holder with 98 wins. Rafael Nadal faces Japan's Taro Daniel. Let's look at some of the sports headlines. Curious your take on this, Marcus, in just a moment, but first up is Bob in Urbana on the phone line. Hey, Bob, what's your thoughts tonight?
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. I just went out to the mailbox and picked up my Sports Illustrated, and it has the NFL Preview 2017, Aaron Rodgers on the front. But on page 34, it features an article about how Houston would be able to or was able to stop the Patriots last year, and it features Whitney Mercalis. And he's the major spokesman on this how they were able to use a Diamond 5 defense against the Patriots. And they said if other people are watching, they were pretty successful with it. But it goes back. We have an Illinois player featured in this year's NFL Preview. It just came out, 2017, and I thought that was really cool that Whitney Mercalis is getting featured in an article. So just a little tidbit. Illinois football is still out there, and the guys that are playing now on the Illinois team should take note. Hey, there's a chance if I work really hard, I can get to the NFL, and I can get on featured in Sports Illustrated. So just for your knowledge.
Well, I appreciate the tidbit, and I'll be looking for it because I have a subscription as well. Whitney Mercalis is one of a few Illini that have made a connection with the Houston Texans, and I think you can make some fans out of Illini Nation with Houston, and they're kind of a sentimental favorite now too with the Hurricane.
Yeah, he's done a really good job since he's been down there, and I think he was featured a little bit more prominently last season with J.J. Watt being injured. He was kind of the guy off the edge that was making some things happen, and we saw him able to do at the NFL level what he did here when he led the nation in sacks or set the school record for sacks here too. So it's taken him a little bit to get going, but I think just playing behind J.J. Watt and some of those other guys have kind of hampered him a little bit. But also speaking of the Texans, Jay Prosh just signed an extension with the Texans worth over $5.5 million, I think it is, over 2 years, $2.75 of that guaranteed. So he, of course, left here after his junior year and finished his career at Auburn, but another former Illini, as you mentioned, with a connection with the Texans.
Thanks for checking in, Bob. Appreciate it. When we come back, we'll get a preview of Ball State, the Illini's opponent on Saturday. Joel Gaudette is the play-by-play voice of the Cardinals in Muncie. That and more with us on Sports Talk. Labor Day coming up here, and you have a way to celebrate with Carpet Weavers in Champaign. They're offering 24 months 0% financing store-wide with Mohawk Flooring. It's offering a huge in-store rebate, like $3 a yard on Mohawk Smart Strand for Everclean Carpet, the all-pet protection, the only carpet warranty for all pets, all accidents, all the time. Also receive free carpet installation with the purchase of a carpet and pad. Check out the choices at Carpet Weaver's Labor Day sales event. Rebates, 0% financing, and free carpet installation. Come home to Carpet Weaver's, 616 West Market View Drive in Champaign.
The things that you can lean on from my film study and having to prepare against him when I was with the Saints, obviously defensively, there's more similarities between what they do defensively at Illinois and similar to what they did defensively with the Tampa Bay Bucks. Now, offense is just played differently right now in college, so there's not as many similarities that way. His background, obviously, is as a defensive coach. So, you know, obviously, we've watched everything we possibly can to try to give ourselves an edge and try to prepare the best we can. So, you know, I've looked back at some old information that exists out there from my time with the Saints, and you can see some similarities.
That's Ball State head coach Mike New of the Ball State Cardinals out of the MAC West, the Illini opponent at 11 a.m. on Saturday. Audio courtesy of Ball State University. Illini have only faced Ball State one other time in program history. It was 2007, the Rose Bowl season. It was the middle of the year. Illini beat them 28-17 on the way to Pasadena, and Rashard Mendenhall had a good game there as well. So it'll be interesting to see, Marcus, what we get on Saturday against Ball State, and particularly with obviously a narrative and a story going on that I don't think the U of I athletic department wanted to have about the war chant. And some people are obviously upset. Some people, I think, are saying, I'm not going to go because of this. Some people have even threatened, I've heard, taking away their donations. I'm curious to see if this will make really any impact noticeably in either attendance or university's donations.
Well, as far as attendance, it might be hard to tell too, because the attendance hasn't been great for a few years now, and I think that's something that they've obviously been trying to work on. And I think, you know, with more wins and more success with the program, I think that'll start to come. So I think maybe if Illinois, you know, rolls off a few wins here in a row early in the season, and then they get into a situation where you think that, you know, the crowd should be growing, and if they don't, then maybe you could tie it back to that. But I think it'd be kind of hard to say, you know, right away what the impact could be.
If they are really winning and you were upset about this, would it really keep you home, either on the football or basketball level? I mean, really.
Again, for me, we talked about this yesterday. It wouldn't bother me one bit. As a fan of sport and of teams, I care about what happens on the field or on the court and how you're performing. And I know some other people feel differently about this and they feel passionate about it, but for me, wouldn't make a difference at all.
Joel Gaudette is the play-by-play voice of the Ball State Cardinals. He'll be on the call for their radio network on Saturday morning here at Memorial Stadium. He joins us now from Muncie. And Joel, welcome into the program, and an early welcome into Champaign-Urbana as well.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, well, tell us, give us a window into the Ball State Cardinals. I know they're young, like the Illini are, with a lot of freshmen. And both teams have a second-year head coach with NFL experience. Obviously, Mike New with the Saints before coming back to his alma mater. What do you have with the Ball State Cardinals?
I think you're looking at the same team that you guys are. It just plays in the MAC, to be quite frank with you. You got a defense that is entirely restocked. It's going to play a lot of freshmen. You've got a quarterback that had a shoulder injury and didn't partake in spring ball. You mentioned the fact that you've got an NFL pedigreed head coach with Lovie Smith and Mike New. So you've got two teams that are, I think, very much looking in the mirror. And for that reason, it's going to be really intriguing to see kind of what shows up for each of them, because there are so many unknowns, especially with the fact that it's week one. But even beyond that, so much about who these teams are is yet to be determined.
What's the storyline in Muncie about facing Illinois? Is this seen as, because obviously Illinois hasn't been that strong, is this seen as a very winnable game? Is it seen as, you know, a small team versus a giant because it is a Big Ten opponent?
No, it's seen as a very winnable game for these guys. I mean, Ball State has played seven Big Ten teams since 2010. It's 3-4 in those games, and two of the four losses it should have won. It was leading at Iowa with a minute to go until it blew that one. That was in 2014, and then in 2015 had more than enough opportunities, including a missed field goal and a fumble going into the end zone to knock off Northwestern. So, I mean, we're very easily looking at what would have been a 5-2 record against Big Ten schools since 2010. I don't think that scares them at all. I don't think they're worried about that one bit. And I think there are segments of this team that come in really confident. Ball State's one of the best rushing teams in the country, regardless of conference. They've got a legitimate running back. They've got a returning offensive line, and they're going up against a team with a lot of unknowns on the defensive front. So they're legitimately confident that they can do what they do against an opponent regardless of where they're from. Now, whether that holds up is yet to be seen, but there's certainly no lack of confidence, and certainly the awestruck factor is not one.
Joel, you mentioned the similarities between the two programs about where they're at and how some things mirror one another, but what's the expectation for this Ball State team in terms of their positioning in the MAC going into the season?
I mean, they were picked last. That's where you have to pick them, just because of how stacked the league is, particularly on the western side. You know, Toledo's looking down the barrel of potentially an undefeated season. You know, Western Michigan had one last year. Northern Illinois had won this league for six consecutive years until they didn't last year. Eastern Michigan made a bowl game last year, which, I mean, they've totally turned around their program. And then Central Michigan's always steady. So somewhere you've got to contend in all of that, which is difficult. Ball State will be better. What their record will be, I don't know. You know, they might be better and have the same record. But they'll be better, and what that bears out statistically will be interesting to see at the end of the day.
How do you see the MAC in terms of how does it? Who is Mike New is really what I'm asking. Who is Mike New trying to go after in terms of recruits? Because obviously your top players in the nation are going to go to the top schools in the Power Five conferences, right? How does Mike New approach recruiting? Do you look for those guys that just aren't good enough, or do you try and swing for the fences?
A little bit of both. I mean, you can see that. I mean, you can recruit in this league. I mean, the reason Western Michigan was undefeated last year is because people are good recruiters. And good recruiting is more than about finding five-star prospects. I mean, you know, you'll hear every coach say that in the world. You know, good recruiting is about finding good kids and good athletes. And that's regardless of what level they're at. Corey Davis was, you know, a first-round pick out of Western Michigan last year, had one offer and barely had that coming out of high school. You've got to find those types of kids. It's harder, but you can do it. And then you've got to go find athletes, and you've got to go to oversaturated portions of the country and find guys that, you know, want an opportunity. You know, Ball State signed, I think, 10 kids from Georgia in their most recent recruiting class, and that comes down to Chavis Jackson as the defensive backs coach. He's young. He played in the NFL. He relates to guys, and he went down to a place that has a lot of athletes, more than enough to fill enough rosters in Georgia, and found some of them and said, hey, why don't you come with me up here? And they followed him. I mean, there's different routes you can take, but I don't think you look at it and say you're settling for a lesser athlete. I just think you've got to go and be able to pick your battles and win them.
Well, tell us what kind of schemes and basic offense and defense the Cardinals run.
I mean, they're a spread offense. They're a multiple offense. They are not your traditional, you know, what would be called an 11 personnel offense, one running back, one tight end. They'll put three tight ends out there. They will use them as receivers. They'll use them out wide. They'll use them in tight. They'll use them as running backs. They'll use them as fullbacks. They'll use a lot of motion, a lot of jet sweep, a lot of misdirection with the eyes, and then they'll be a little bit more traditional too. And on top of that, they've got a mobile quarterback. You know, Riley Neal likes to run. He likes to get hit. So you've got to add in that wrinkle as well. So that's what you're looking at offensively, defensively. I don't really know. It's a new coordinator, so we'll see what it looks like. But they're aggressive. They get after the quarterback, and they're really well conditioned. You know, 2/3 of their sacks last year came in the fourth quarter. So they get after it late, and they're relentless. And you've got to be able to contend with that aggression deep into a ball game as a tired offensive line.
Joel Godet is the play-by-play voice of the Ball State Cardinals. He's joining us here on Sports Talk.
With Neal, you mentioned he's coming off an injury, but also he likes to run, likes to get hit, likes contact. Is there anything that are they trying to shy him away from that, or are they just letting him go out there and do what he does and not worrying about injuries so much?
No, that's who he is. They're not going to restrict him on that. That's who he is, and they don't want to take that away, because that then takes away from what he does and who he is. So.
It's a little different here with Chase Crouch, the running quarterback for the Illini, who's all year long. He was getting tired of off-season questions about will he slide now instead of running into a brick wall, essentially, which he's willing to do.
That comes down to being smart, though. I mean, you know, Riley's not going to run into a, you know, linebacker running at full speed. He'll get out of bounds, but he does like to take off.
What is the culture and the fan base like for the Ball State Cardinals in Muncie? How are game days? Is the stadium filled up?
It depends on the day. On Saturdays, yeah. On Tuesdays in November when it's 30 degrees, not necessarily. And, you know, that comes with being in the MAC, and it comes with the fact that you play midweek games and you get that trade-off for the national television exposure that not every, you know, group of five conference gets. But you can get the trade-off of playing at 8 o'clock when it's cold out on a school night. So it goes both ways. But, you know, next week they've got UAB at home, and, you know, we'll hopefully have some 20,000 people there.
What's the flagship sport, you know, what's the sport that most people identify with around campus?
It's a basketball school. You know, one of the very first 5-12 upsets in the history of the NCAA tournament back in 1990 when they beat, you know, Gary Payton's Oregon State team, went to the Sweet 16, very nearly knocked off UNLV, who wound up cruising to a national title that year. Rick Majerus was the head coach the year before that. Bonzi Wells played here in the 90s, famously went to Maui in 2001 and beat UCLA and Kansas on back-to-back days and then almost beat Duke. So there's a basketball history here, first and foremost. Football is certainly strong, but basketball is kind of where the identity of the sports fan would lie with Ball State.
Well, I've almost made it through an interview without asking you about David Letterman, but I'm caving and asking.
Never
you,
met him.
Really?
Well, I mean, who am I? Like,
well, I mean, does he come around? Does he make appearances? Does he come to sporting events?
I mean, he comes back. Very gracious with his money, very gracious with his time. He sponsors a lecture series on campus, and he is part of that himself. So he comes back and does some interviews. He had Oprah Winfrey on campus 6 years ago, and that was a open event to students to come and see him and Oprah, you know, shoot the breeze on stage for 2 hours. And he's done that multiple times and donated a bunch of memorabilia from The Late Show. So I think they're working on kind of a museum-esque type deal where you can see some of that on campus. So his presence is certainly strong.
Before I let you go, I do have to give you a mention. You host a podcast designed for play-by-play broadcasters, and I really enjoy it. I really enjoy it. I get a lot out of it because I enjoy doing play-by-play. Is your audience there other play-by-play broadcasters, or is it wider?
It's you and my mom for the most part. It's kind of a niche thing. I think it's mostly other announcers, but, you know, you stumble on it and you like it and you're a sports fan and, you know, each one's kind of tailored. So if you're Sean Grandy is going to be on tomorrow. So if you're a Celtics fan, you know, maybe you find it interesting. If you're a Bellator fan, maybe you'll find it interesting. But I mean, it's one of those niche kind of things. So it really all depends.
And that's what podcasts are for. But hey, if you are interested in the world of a play-by-play announcer and getting into the sort of the techniques and all that that go on, I encourage you to check out Joel's podcast on that. Well, Joel, hey, appreciate you spending a little bit of time. It's not too long of a trip over here. We wish you safe travels and welcome to Champaign, and we'll see you Saturday.
My pleasure, guys.
Thanks a lot for joining us. That's Joel Gaudette, play-by-play voice of the Ball State University Cardinals. You can find him on Twitter at Joel Gaudette, G-O-D-E-T-T. 5:37 on Sports Talk coming up. We get primed for game day, what the experience will be like for us with Holly Stahlkup from Illinois Football Event Management. Stay with us. We're back on Sports Talk. It's 5:40. Scott and Marcus with you. Pleased to be joined by Holly. I don't know if Holly Stahlkup is here from Illinois Event Management. I don't know if you heard us earlier, but we did get official poll results that you are amongst the top three nicest people around.
Wow, who's ahead of me?
It's a secret poll.
Okay, all right. Yeah. Well, I'll take top three. That's pretty good.
I do think a couple of religious leaders are in there.
So. Oh, okay. I thought it was just out of like DIA athletics, so no. I feel better.
It's everybody.
Oh, okay.
It's everybody. Welcome in. Getting ready for another season of Illinois football. And what number is this for you?
14th.
Wow. Congratulations. What's in store for us this year at Memorial Stadium? I think, you know, most fans know the game day experience, but there's always new things to highlight and maybe new things to know if there's anything that's changed in the procedure. So just wanted to get you in here and let fans know what they can expect this year.
Sure. I think, you know, a lot of crews over at our department and staffs are working hard to get ready. And a lot of what you're going to see probably hasn't changed much, but we're excited to bring Grange Grove back for its third year. I think that's really grown over the last couple years. You're going to see a lot more music, both on the south end and north end specifically for our students. You're going to see inflatables and kids zones and different things. So I think that's one of our highlights to attend and get out there early to enjoy that.
All right. What is 11 a.m. is a kickoff.
Correct.
When does your day start?
About 4:45, 5 a.m.
You're arriving
yes.
at Memorial Stadium.
Yes.
So what do you do?
You know, so we get, well, one, I do like 11 o'clock games because if it's a night game, I'm still there at that same time along with the rest of my staff. So this makes the day a little shorter. But, you know, with our parking lots opening at 7, we get there early to get our staff checked in for parking lots. And, you know, a lot of behind the scenes things that if everyone's doing right, no one should know what we're doing. But it's mostly just getting lots ready, staffs ready and in their positions.
How much has the game day experience changed since you've been around? You mentioned 14 years. It seems like more of a production now than it was, you know, back then. You have to keep people entertained and, I guess, engaged in the game.
Yeah, I think, you know, two perspectives. It's that how do we get people out of their homes and come to a game when we all have DVR and can pause it and get our own food? And so it's that fan experience part of giving an atmosphere that you can't get at your house. But I also think it's also from that security's perspective, too, is a little different maybe than 14 years ago and when I started. And maybe it's the number of officers or the street closures or different things. So, you know, when we train our staff, I say it's two things. It's that fan experience now has really heightened, but also that security and giving our patrons that safe area.
So what are some of the metrics you used when you go through evaluating how a game went? Are you looking at noise in the stadium? Are you looking at, I don't know, what? You tell me.
Well, a win for me is if we don't have any more lightning and I don't have to evacuate. I did that twice, so we'll say that's a win. But I think, too, you know, if our fans leave and they're just excited to be there, whether it's they had a great time tailgating, whether it's they came in, I think, too, it's just from the – you can tell when people are having a good time in that electricity in the stadium. So I think we look for it for that. I'm probably have different eyes maybe than our marketing and fan experience. They're looking for that excitement in our fans. I think I'm looking from that – how is our stadium? Was it welcoming when you came in, when you left? Was it clean? All these different things that I think make up all the big puzzle of your fan experience.
So you're zeroing in on the operation of the day as opposed to the success of a promotion or something that on the video board or whatever.
Correct. I'm making sure the garbage cans are in the right places and different things. I'm a very different fan and looking at things probably than the most average one.
You mentioned the lightning. It was, 2 years ago was the Kent State game where it was delayed a day because of storms. Is that your final call?
It is. Yeah. I think we went 60 plus years, never having an evacuation. Then I get two in a row and it is, you know, we evacuate the stadium in an 8 mile radius of lightning in that. And so myself is talking to the officials, talking to teams and just keeping them updated as we get close. But I'm the one that hits the button and says it's time to evacuate. And then I give the all clear when it's time.
Where are you at during the games? Do you have a place where you're at, or are you all over the place?
So I wish I could be everywhere, but I actually now in my position sit up in what's called our command post. So we run a command post, kind of, I say, big sister in the sky. I'm watching down on everyone and just watching all the different things happen, and whether it's NOAA weather service or different things, I'm monitoring all that throughout the game.
I imagine we're calling you the nicest person in the world, but you probably have to learn how to say no.
I do.
In a variety of ways.
Yeah, you know, I'm listening to 10 radio channels at once, so I might not be the nicest person on game day sometimes when all that chatter is happening, but I do. I'm the one that has to see the full picture. So, all our departments have individual goals and different things they want to do, and I'm looking at from the big picture and might sometimes have to say no.
And have you learned how to put your foot down in a firm way?
I think so, firm, but I'm always smiling, so hopefully that helps. I don't know.
You deliver that with a smile. It always helps. Holly Stahlcup here with just for a moment longer here, event management for Illinois football. By the way, stick with us. We do have some tailgate passes to give away for our tailgate, which is in Grange Grove. I love the Grange Grove experience. I think it's become it was essentially a parking lot to what it is now is remarkable. How much do you get involved out there?
You know, I was fortunate when we were looking at that, went to Old Miss and to TCU and kind of checked out some institutions that are known for their great tailgates. And so we went and got some ideas from that and brought it back here. And I think, again, maybe we had some growing pains at the beginning, but I think it's catching on and, you know, we're getting the students to show up and our fans and families. So I think it's a great meeting place for everyone to come and have a good time.
Are there other parts of the event management or game day experience that you guys take from other schools? You mentioned you do the tailgate park at Ole Miss and TCU, other places, things inside the stadium that you guys go around and say, hey, we need to try this at Memorial Stadium.
Yeah, I always think you're looking for best practices, and I love going to other places, whether it's in the Big Ten or outside of that, and just getting ideas, whether it's implementing things in your concourses or throughout the stadium, or how we train our event staff and what they do when they're working. So I'm always looking for best practices and know there's ideas out there that we'd love to try and willing to try them and learn from them.
How excited would you be for the potential for the renovation of the south end zone and the east stands, you know, whatever it would look like, however it would turn out? But do you get excited at that idea?
I do. I get really excited for really nice restrooms and different things that I think, again, adds all to our fan experience, and any amenities we can improve for our patrons is what we want to do. So I look forward to that continuing process and what we can offer.
And your own personal lounge, would that be involved in that?
They say, I guess, I eat shrimp and shrimp cocktail up in my command post. So I don't, but maybe we'll have a Holly Stahlcup lounge.
I think it'd be well earned.
Thank
all right,
you.
Holly, thanks for stopping in. We appreciate it. Best of luck as you get going with the year number 14. I know football is not your only sport, right?
It is not. Men's basketball as well, which is right around the corner a week earlier. So it'll be here before we know it.
So November will be nice and easy
yes.
for you. Indeed.
Tons of days off.
Thanks a lot, Holly.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Holly Stahlcup with us. And we do have some tailgate passes to give away for you. I've got a four-pack to our Grange Grove tailgate on Saturday morning. Opens at 8:30. So there's two caveats. One, you got to use them. We want you to use them. Number two, obviously you got to get them tomorrow at the station between 8 and 5, which is our business hours. We will go for caller number 5, so I can make Tamara work a little bit here. Caller number 5, 356-9397 is a number for some tailgate passes. Caller number 5. We're back after this.
The case for Mike Glennon to be the Bears' starting quarterback. I'm Jason Gotch, and the Gotch Files are next. I'm Jason Gotch with the Gotch Files. Despite solid play from rookie number 2 overall draft pick Mitchell Trubisky during the preseason, the Bears seem committed to having veteran Mike Glennon be the starting quarterback to begin the year. Bears coach John Fox recently articulated his choice to stick with Glennon.
I don't like doing hypotheticals. You know, right now, Mike Glennon's a starter. You know, he's going to start preseason 3, which is a pretty good indicator where you start the season. Let's leave it at that.
While I would play Trubisky week 1 if I were coaching the Bears to accelerate his development, there's a case to be made for doing what the Bears are doing and starting Glennon. The 27-year-old Glennon is entering his 5th season in the NFL, but he hasn't played much. Glennon has only seen action in 19 games over his first 4 years, and 13 of those contests were in his rookie season. It may be hard for the Bears fans out there to fathom this idea after watching him in the preseason, but what if Glennon is actually a really good quarterback? By starting Glennon to begin this year, the Bears can see what they have, and if he's good, they have a very nice problem. Two solid quarterbacks in a league where quarterback talent is very hard to find. Plus, this would give Trubisky a chance to watch and learn. I would still go with Trubisky week one, but there is a case for Glennon being the starter. With another installment of the Gotch Files, I'm Jason Gotch.
Hi again, everyone. This is Jim Turper. Join me for Penny for Your Thoughts on Friday. An open line at 9, Illini Friday at 10.
Scott Marcus back. Smells like some teen spirit in here.
Great song.
It is. Probably one of the top five songs of the 90s.
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's up there by most measures, I believe.
I agree, too.
Even if you like different genres of music. I
mean, like Mbop and Hanson?
that definitely is not top five. It was top five at 5 today, but I don't think top five of the 90s at all. Maybe top 500.
Yeah, if you missed it, Marcus walked into Mbop on our sister station, Light Rock 97.5, and that put him in a chipper mood. And
reminded me of my freshman year of high school.
Yeah, I was a little bit older then when that came out. I believe I was in college by then. Teen Spirit. Smells like Teen Spirit. That reminds me of high school.
I was junior high.
Yeah, I'm a little ahead of you there, man. All right, Illinois and Ball State on Saturday, and Illinois with a running quarterback for Lovie Smith and Chase Crouch.
Well, I think as a general rule, if you're just talking to defensive coaches in general, they would rather play a quarterback that's in the pocket most of the time. Once you bring in that extra guy, a quarterback that can run the football, it's a totally different animal now. And we have that with Chase Crouch. I mean, of course, we like what he can do throwing the football, but if that breaks down, we can have production from his legs. And as a defensive guy, to have to account for another man, it makes it harder. But that's college football. Probably at least 10 other teams we're going to play, you would say that they have a mobile quarterback that can throw, you know, that can beat you running the ball too.
356-9397 is our number. Tony is with us in Champaign, wants to talk about Ball State. Hey, Tony, what's on your mind?
Hey, I'm thinking Illinois is not going to have a whole lot of problems with Ball State. They might have come out of the gate, but I think they're going to handle them pretty well. I really enjoyed the conversation with the guy that does podcasts on broadcasting, and I think my understanding is that that school's pretty famous for broadcasters. Isn't that the same school that produced Boom Goes the Dynamite?
Yeah, you're right. Boom Goes the Dynamite.
Yeah. So I was thinking, wait a minute, that was Ball State.
I went most of an interview without asking about David Letterman, but I'm pretty sure if I had brought that up, he would have hung up right there.
You think so?
Yeah.
Well, you know, he was talking about broadcasting. I mean, think about how long-lasting that is. That's one of my favorites.
Oh, we'll have to see if we can bring that out of the archive somewhere, because that is a brilliant moment.
Well, do it. Do it after the game tomorrow when Illinois wins 47-12 or something like that.
Deal. Tim and I will try and get that out and say boom right. Goes the dynamite on right. Saturday after the game with the post-game show. Thanks, Tony. Appreciate
Enjoy
it.
Enjoy the show. Thanks.
Good thought. I think that guy went on to have a pretty successful career. He's probably still in sportscasting.
Yeah, last I saw, he was like a news reporter somewhere in Minnesota for a TV station up there. So he bounced back. I think he's done some interviews about the Boom Goes the Dynamite thing and all that.
If you're not familiar, a student sportscaster at Ball State University did like your local news, TV news sportscast, and he was trying to be a little ESPN-like with some catchphrases on it. But the whole production was just off, and it was just awkward. It was like the Chris Farley show from Saturday Night Live, right? You know, it's just the whole thing is awkward and uncomfortable. And he randomly throws in boom, and boom goes the dynamite. And
passes it to the man, and boom goes the dynamite.
Yeah, and it wasn't even close to what was going on in the highlights, and it quickly became legendary on the internet.
It was one of the first viral videos out there, because it was back in like 05 or 04, 05. I think I was still in college when this happened, and YouTube was just starting to get going a little bit, and it's painful to watch, and poor guy, he was just a student at the time, but it's good to see that he's bounced back from it.
And I can say, somebody who's been a broadcaster for a few years now, we've all been there, we've all had those moments, and
I'm gonna go watch that now.
It's a different kind of laughing when you've been there yourself. So, all right, Ali Bastianelli for Illinois Volleyball is back in action tomorrow at 3 o'clock against Kent State. And the middle blocker, who was MVP of the Bobcat Classic this past weekend as Ilana went 3-0, talking about more accountability for her squad.
Having all the coaches' eyes on us all the time, we have so many people in the gym that if there's a mistake in the gym or if someone does something really good, we're really quick to recognize it. And we've been making changes a lot. Like, it's always hard when a new staff comes in to kind of just change whatever you've been learning previously. So I think that just being open to change has been really good too. I think that's helped with accountability because we all just want to get better and really focus on the things that we need to do to win the games that we need to.
Illinois against Kent State tomorrow, and Dave Lone is on the call at 3 o'clock here on DWS.
Later, he gets the rebound, passes it to the man, shoots it, and boom goes the dynamite.
Okay, great. Thanks a lot for that look into sports, Brian. And
it just goes, yeah. And the look on his face is just like...
He wanted to crawl into a hole. Surprised we didn't see the sweat dripping down his face.
Time to change my major. All right. Thanks for sticking with us. And maybe one day we'll all make it here as well.
Who are we to be making fun of this kid, right?
Exactly. Joel Gaudette, play-by-play voice of Ball State University. Appreciate his time as a guest. Holly Stalka from the U of I Event Management. Tamara McDaniel, our producer engineer behind the scenes. Marcus, enjoy the rest of your week and weekend.
Sounds good, Scott. See you next week.
All right. Thanks so much, everybody, for listening tonight. The CBS World News Roundup is next. This is News Talk 1400 WDWS Champaign-Urbana, a News Gazette media station. Time at the tone is 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, that is. It's 5 o'clock in Denver. Good night.